Fred Film Radio.
The Black Star Film Festival is a Philadelphia film festival focused on films about and by Black, Brown and Indigenous people from around the world. Joining us to tell us more about it is its founder, director and CEO, Mayori Carmel Holmes. Mayori, welcome to the Big Fred Tuesday.
Thank you so much for having me. It's morning here, so I want to say good morning, but...
Yeah. We're in very different time zones, actually. I am currently in Italy. This is all an illusion, of course, because via the power of the internet, we were able to connect. And I'm so glad because this is the first time that we are able to speak about the Black Star Film Festival. So first off, because this is the first time, I wanted to sort of just ask you, would you be able to introduce the festival for our listeners and maybe tell us about its mission statement as well?
Sure. Black Star Film Festival has been around since 2012. We focus on independent work by Black, Brown, and Indigenous filmmakers from around the world. And we're really interested in work that breaks genre, that's pushing the form in some way. We screen a lot of experimental work. And also, you know, typical documentaries and narratives as well, but really, really interested in pushing form.
And I really want to ask you about that in more detail in a moment. But, you know, as the founder of the festival, I kind of wanted to ask you, what was your personal journey and motivation that led you to, you know, essentially the foundation of this festival?
Sure. So I went to graduate school initially. I've gone twice, but my first graduate school was for filmmaking. And I, you know, made a thesis film that I was able to expand a little bit and sent out to the festival world. And that was in 2006. And that film screened at about 40 festivals internationally. And I went to quite a bit of them, which were really wonderful experiences. And I was living in Philadelphia at the time, which is where my graduate school is. And I had gotten married. And my husband at the time was still in school. And so I knew I had to stay in Philadelphia, which was not my intent when I first started grad school. So I kind of felt like I needed to make use of my time while I was living here. That's what I was telling myself. And when I sort of ended my year of being on the road with my film, I was really taken with the experience and wanted to create something similar. And so I kind of caught the programming bug. And I started a festival back then that took place in 2007 and 2008. It was focused on women. And then, you know, ever since then, we ended in 2008 when the markets crashed and we just kind of couldn't figure out how to launch the next year. But I was really, really, I think the public locally and myself are really taken with me as a programmer. And so I started doing programming in other places. And just fast forward to 2012, I had another idea and I thought it would be a one day program. And that became Black Star.
Right, right. And obviously that has evolved over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And just to get back to the festival then, so in your introduction, I wanted to go back to your introduction of the festival. And just to so that we understand, what do you mean by the storytelling traditions of the African diaspora and of global communities of color? Do you mean just in terms of representation, or are there specific traits that you could highlight that define these sort of traditions?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't have like the best answer to it. I wish that I did. But basically, I think that there are ways that people have learned to tell stories that are outside of the Western canon, if you will, or what we've been taught is the Western canon even, you know? And so I'm really curious about, I mean, I think if you take a movement like magical realism or what's called magical realism and think about how that can be applied to cinema, it's such a new medium for all of us. It's our infant medium next to the web. And so to think about that it's only 100 years in, there's so much experimentation to do still. And so thinking about the ways that African and Asian and other indigenous folks play with time and circumvent, you know, not only temporal realities, but relationships between characters and relationships between, you know, Earth and other worlds. And, you know, just sort of, I think there's so many things that we've still yet to kind of consider in cinematic realm. And so that's a lot of what we're interested in.
And so in terms of the program itself and the variety of the films that are screened, let's say just in general within the festival, does that also mean experimentation with actual style, perhaps experimentation with form too within the cinematic art form?
Yes, for sure.
So that's interesting, because another thing that I wanted to ask you is, so is the focus of the festival specifically on independent filmmaking?
We mostly focus on independent filmmakers because we believe they need the most, you know, they need the platform the most. And so there are occasionally folks who are not independents or films that aren't independent that we screen if we want to share them, you know, with the audience that we've cultivated. But generally we're focusing on, we're very filmmaker centric. And so generally we're focusing on those folks.
All right. Okay. So just to help us sort of visualize it a little more, I mean, even get a better understanding of Black Star. So what does the festival look like, let's say, on a normal year? You know, what venues does it take place in, and how is it structured too?
Yeah. So the last eight festivals have been 4 days in Philadelphia. And we have generally had, you know, last year, I think we had about 10,000 people attend, and they come from all over. Even the first year, we had people come from all over the country. And then we had a few international guests that first year. And then since then, people have been coming from all over. Most of the filmmakers attend, and then we get audiences as well. And it takes place in a section of Philadelphia that's called University City. So it's between the campuses of the University of Pennsylvania and Drexel University. And this year, we would have debuted the festival at the Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts, but obviously we're moved it online. But it gets talked about as a kind of family reunion because it's so small in scale. It has a boutique feel. You know, it's just the 4 days, and so it's, you know, about 100 filmmakers total. And so there's an opportunity to really get to meet people and run into them in somewhere. We have a lot of parties, of course, and a lot of panel discussions and workshops, and oftentimes also have exhibitions.
Right. So, you know, as well as the film screenings themselves, there are also other events, including panels, as you said, and other and exhibitions too, and other such things. Okay, so, you know, this is interesting because before we get into what's going to be happening for this year's edition, so far, reflecting in the history of Black Star, do you feel like it has contributed to the intercultural discourses in Philadelphia specifically?
Well, I mean, I don't know about Philadelphia specifically. I think that it has. We see ourselves as part of an international conversation of the last decade about, you know, Black and brown cultural production as it pertains to, I think, primarily the U.S. and Europe. But obviously, other people are also thinking about these issues. And so representation is important. But it's also, you know, decision making and even style and approach to the work. We're really trying to take this idea of revolution and move it into how we, you know, assemble our crews and how we, you know, pay our guests and how we, like, we're really trying to decolonize. I think all of this is part of the interest.
All right. So that's interesting. And I guess that takes us to, you know, today and these times that we are living in. And how is Black Star responding to the COVID crisis this year?
Well, I mean, we are forced to respond to it in that we're not able to have the festival in person. And so we are having it online, which is in one way is great because it means that we can really engage internationally in a way that we haven't before. You know, people will be able to see the films from wherever they are. By and large, we have a small group of films that have asked to be limited to North America, but most of the films will be available throughout the globe. And so that's really exciting. It means for the panel discussions that we have engagement with people from all over at the same time as well. And, you know, we've had to pivot away. We're not having in-person parties, although we are having two DJ events. And we also won't be having, you know, the filmmakers won't gather together. So that's what I'm missing the most. But I think in terms of the audience, they're going to get a very similar program.
Right. Obviously, there are some things that the physical experience in the physical experience that can't be replaced by the virtual experience.
Yeah.
What are the dates of the festival this year?
The festival starts on August 20th and ends August 26th.
And where will the people be able to experience the screenings and the events?
If they come to our website, it's watch.blackstarfest.org. So they'll be able, and you can just click on that from the homepage. So just everything's on our site.
Great. Okay, so what can you tell me about the film program for this year? Are there any defining traits that stand out, or are there any titles that stand out too?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I mean, you know, we're very excited about the entire program. There are probably about 60 shorts and about 30 features in the program. And, you know, we have some films that did really well earlier in the year, like Coded Bias by Shalini Kantaya. We have 40-Year-Old Virgin by Radha Blank, Be Water by Bao Nguyen. There are a number of really fascinating shorts that are some experimental, some documentary, of course, and some narrative shorts as well. But, you know, I'm always excited about the entire program.
Sure. So, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in terms of just geographically where these films come from, how many countries are represented in the program?
24 countries are represented.
Wow. Yeah. So basically, yeah, that's a very... that's a great variety of geographical origins in the program as well. I suppose that's an important part of just Black Star in general, too, given its mission statement.
Absolutely.
Hmm. And so besides that, the parallel events, too. I mean, are there going to be any in this virtual event? I'm talking about, you know, Q&As, panels and the like.
Yeah, so we're pre-recording the Q&As because they're only 15 minutes and we didn't want to have any technical difficulties, you know, happen. So they'll be pre-recorded, and then after a film, it'll go right into the Q&A. And I think we have 100% Q&A participation, so that's really great. We are having 3 in-person screenings, which will be drive-ins. Those don't get announced until tomorrow, but we'll have 3 feature films that will be drive-in at the Mann Center for the Performing Arts here in Philly, which is a typical outdoor music venue. It's an amphitheater. You know, I'm sure most people have something like that. And so that's where this drive-in will take place, which will be a really great experience. And then we also have 12 panel discussions, which I'm really, really, I'm so proud of them. We have a variety of people in conversation with the filmmakers, talking about contemporary issues and culture. So, you know, we have folks like Sadia Hartman and Imani Perry and Ruha Benjamin and Ben Alex Dupree and Mark Gonzalez. And yeah, we just have so many really wonderful thinkers that have joined us, which is very, very exciting.
Wow, that sounds really fascinating. So I wanted to go back to the decision to go online this year. And just, I guess this is my own curiosity as well. I've been gathering some sort of some thoughts about, you know, when the coronavirus pandemic and with the outbreak, how so many festivals around the world were sort of forced to make these tough decisions. But as far as Black Star is concerned, I mean, would you consider it a difficult decision in the sense that perhaps the alternative might have been not having a festival at all this year?
Exactly. I mean, that was the alternative. The first month or so, I think, of the U.S. acknowledging the pandemic, we were hoping, you know, that we would be like New Zealand or some of these other more involved countries and not be dealing with it by August. And so we thought, okay, we'll be able to have an in-person festival. But as everyone knows, we are now, you know, a hotspot in many states in this country. And that has not been the case. And so as the cases continue to rise from March to April to May, our venue made the decision that they were not going to open. And so then we had to and they were telling us that along the way. So we knew that we were going to have to pivot online or cancel the festival. And I didn't want to cancel because so many of the filmmakers that show with us, sometimes it's their first festival, you know, or it's their first festival in a long time, right? Like we have 2 repertory works this year from films that are over 30 years old. And so thinking about being that opportunity to, I know what it's like. I had one film, right, on the festival circuit and 14 years ago, and I know what it's like for that one chance and to not be there for people for whom this would have been their only festival. We just, it would have been heartbreaking. So we decided to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that it was the right decision. Right now, I guess the film community at large needs all the support that it can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when we talk about independent films too, which this festival is does have a focus on. But yeah, so just, you know, as the founder of Blackstar, I did want to ask you a question, and feel free to answer it in whatever way you'd like. Just in terms of Black representation in cinema, do you feel that something is changing in the current cinematic landscape? Or, you know, are you optimistic about the future? Is there an evolution taking place right now?
I'm definitely optimistic, and I'd say I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, if you're a student of history, you know this isn't the first time that there have been Black directors or actors or writers being given, you know, more access and opportunity to enter the industry. And I'm speaking from a U.S. context specifically. The thing that seems different this time is that people are being brought in a deeper way. And so, you know, the number of Black and brown folks I know who've gotten DGA cards, right, like in the last 4 or 5 years is incredible. The number of people that have entered the Academy for Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences as members, the number of folks that have become executives at studios, that feels like a difference as opposed to the things that we can see. I think seeing more directors, seeing more shows, that is something that we have seen before. It happened in the 90s. It happened in the 70s. You know, it's we've seen these sort of moments where Black people were, you know, trendy, if you will. But what feels different this time is the other roles, you know, the writers, the executives, the Academy members also being Black and brown, being invited in. And so I feel like that change has the potential to be more lasting. And I really, really hope that it is. And I also really hope that it extends not just for Black people, but also for Arab folks and for Indigenous folks and Latinx folks and Asian folks, because this country is made up of all of these people. And so sometimes I think that we rest on, you know, saying, well, oh, there's 4 Black shows. There's still a lot of work to do, because that's not, the country is not only made up of Black and white people.
Right. I think you said earlier that cinema is a relatively young form, and I do believe that, you know, the evolution of cinema does not only rely on technological advancements, but also increased representation and inclusion.
Sure. Agree with that.
So, Mary, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Thanks very much for joining us, and I wish you all the best with this year's edition of Blackstar.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.